O Holy One, most glorious in grace, if you are with us, then nothing else matters. And if you are not with us, then nothing else matters. Come, Holy Spirit, our souls inspire, and with your celestial grace, set our hearts on fire. This we ask in the name of your beloved. Amen. The gospel reading appointed for us to hear this morning has raised a question in me that I am not sure that I know how to answer. And even if I did, I'm not sure I want to know the answer. This question bothers me. It makes me uneasy. I think that's because I always want to be a hopeful person. And I always want to be able to see the very best in everyone. But that has meant sometimes, to put it generously, and as has been pointed out to me, it clouds my judgment. So, the question that this gospel reading raises that I would rather not look at is, do we get a chance to be different? Do you, in this life that you are living, get a chance to be different? Do we get a chance for someone else in our lives to be different? All right, I realize that's more than one question, but you get the point. As we come beside Jesus in this reading, here is where we find ourselves. Jesus has just filled up the hungry with good things, just like his mother said he would do. From a nearly bare pantry, and with just a little prayer, Jesus has fed a multitude of people as a sign for their bodies and their souls that he is giving to them life that is full of grace and gratitude and generosity, as Bob Hetherington opened for us last Sunday. But today, he runs into some static from the religious folk who apparently feel a need to keep an eye on everything. Religious folk, particularly the leaders. They can't let Jesus be any different than they know that he already is. He is Joseph's son. Mary's his mom. We know where he's from. We know who he is. Bread of heaven. Good heavens. We know where you're from. Which brings up a related question. It's one that I've come to understand is typical for folk from the part of the world that we live in to ask. I have asked it myself 100 times over. It often comes when you're first meeting someone, you'll ask, "Where are you from?" I ask sort of out of curiosity, or just sort of to begin to hear someone's story about who they are. But it may be that there's another side to that question as well. Where are you from? Oh, I was raised on Southside. Oh. I was raised in the West End. Oh? I was raised up on the 300 block of Laurel on Oregon Hill. Oh. I'm from New Jersey. And maybe that O ends things right then and there, and maybe it doesn't. But you hear what I mean. Do I get a chance to be different? Do you get a chance to be different? Can I let someone else be different than where that O has led us to? You see why I don't really like the question that I'm hearing raised in this word Jesus has for us today as the gospel. Do I get a chance to be different? Do you, when there's that O standing in the way? Realistically, maybe. Or maybe not. Yet even still, aren't we drawing close to the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ with this question? Because isn't Jesus' whole life and all that he is for us about giving us the chance to be different, to be known by something other than where we come from? Which is not just a geographical question. Isn't this what we sing about and we pray about and we take the words of Scripture to speak? I was lost, but I found my way home. I could not see. I was blind. I see. I see. I was a prisoner, and I am free. I was guilty, and am forgiven. You may think that I'm just wondering aloud about how we see others primarily. Can I let someone else have the chance to be different than the way that I've already got you pegged? And I am. But at least as importantly, can I give myself the chance to see my own self differently? Me with my poor, tired, tattered, tricky heart. Can I give myself the chance to see myself differently? Something a little more like the way God sees me in Jesus. So, I want to tell you a story about this. And I know that at least two people in here today are intimately involved in the folks I'm going to tell you about. And I'm going to tell this story in pretty plain language. You'll know it when I get to it. But it's really just plain language about us, people, and it's not unique. The folks I'm going to tell you about, whose story really is just our story too. So, it was my very first Sunday at the parish I once served here in Richmond, and it was a bright, clear, beautiful late spring morning. And after church, the senior warden took me by the elbow and walked me down the street to the parish hall. A little reception had been planned and put together, and folks had brought ham biscuits, of course, deviled eggs, yes, preach, little sandwiches. There was a great big old cake, thank you, Lord, and iced tea and lemonade and coffee. And when I came into the parish hall, the senior warden said, I need to check on something in the kitchen, so I'll be right back. And for no particular reason at all, I headed towards a row of empty folding chairs that were along the side of the parish hall, wedged in between the old radiators. I say for no particular reason, I'm not quite telling the truth. I'm an introvert, and I saw a quiet spot where I could go like land for just a few minutes. There was no one seated there except an older woman. And she was sitting there in a folding chair with one of those little plates in her lap. And I plunked myself down next to her and introduced myself, and we started chatting. Her name was Nora, and she was one of four sisters who grew up from birth into their 80s or more in that parish church. And we sat there and jawed about this and about that for a good long while, till Nora finally said, "Well, you had better get something to eat because it will be gone soon." As I stood up, Nora stood up too, and then she hugged my neck and then backed up and considered me for just a second and then smooched me on the cheek. A little later, I was standing with some folks and the senior warden came up and again took me by the elbow, which is what senior wardens do, especially with new rectors, and said, "Let me just steal you for 1 second, baby." And we walked off to the side. And the senior warden had this worried, sort of anxious expression on her face. And finally she said, "So, I saw you speaking with Nora." And I said, "Yes, uh-huh." She was clearly uncomfortable. And she said, "Is everything okay?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Okay. Did Nora say something horrible to you?" I said, "No, she didn't say anything horrible to me." And then she squinted at me, at my face, and she said, "You have lipstick on your face." I said, "Well, I expect that that was Nora." And she said, "Nora?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Really?" And then she did one of those secret little head nods. "Nora?" I said, "Yes, why?" Here's what I didn't know, but learned later. And here's the plain talk. Nora was the designated, crabby, mean, older church lady in that parish. Now, I don't know if she earned that title fair and square, or if it just sort of got designated for her by a sort of systems theory analysis of the dynamics of that parish, and maybe it was a little of both. But of course, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that I was supposed to keep my distance and be wary. I didn't know that I was supposed to see her in a certain way. That is no credit to me. I just didn't know. As the little reception was winding up, I was talking with some folks, and I felt a hand slip into mine. Naturally, I was curious, so I looked, and it was Nora. And she mouthed to me, without saying a word, "Thank you." And then said, "I'll see you next Sunday," and then went on. And one of the people I was talking to said, "What was that all about?" "Did she say something horrible to you?" I said, "No, she didn't." Just a few years ago, I learned that when Nora was no longer able to leave her home to go to church, people would go to see her, and they would just about fall over each other to do that. And the reason I learned was because she was so sweet, they wanted to be with her. Is this just a sweet, sentimental little story? It might be. It might be. But it may be a sign of what happens when the Spirit of the living God changes us. Including how we see each other. Till we see little by little each other and even our own poor selves a little bit more like God sees us in His blessed Son, and we are changed too. And a question like, "Where are you from?" is answered with, "Honestly, same place as you, same place as you, lost, but I found my way home, blind, but I can see now, guilty and broken, and I'm forgiven too. It could be anyone. It could be anywhere. It could be anytime. It could even be you. Do we get a chance to be different? Do we get a chance to let someone else be different? To see them as one for whom the Lord has laid down his life? Well, of course, through the mercy of God. Why else are we here? Amen.